Welcome to a new episode of the Daily Digest from English Plus Podcast. As you might have noticed, I'm not your host, Danny. I'm only replacing him for today because he's under the weather. He will probably get better soon, and he will be back in no time. But now, without further ado, let me tell you about the great things we're going to learn about in today's Daily Digest. In our Words of Wisdom section, we will dive deep into the meaning and lessons behind our daily proverb, "All good things must come to an end." And we will also take the deep plunge into the wisdom of Franklin Roosevelt's wisdom when he talked about what might be the greatest limitation we have. After that, we will move on to our Word Power section, where we will discuss the meaning of today's expression, "give someone the cold shoulder," and today's word, "ardent." After our daily dose of vocabulary, we will move on to expand our knowledge in our Did You Know section. We will answer two questions today. The first is about bees. Did you know that honeybees can recognize human faces? And then we will move a little deeper into ourselves to ask a more personal question. Did you know that most of your decisions are made subconsciously before you're aware of them? If you want to find out about these two intriguing questions, stick around because I promise, the answers are going to blow your mind. After a healthy dose of daily knowledge, we will take a new step in our language journey section. Today, we will talk about the difference between school and university, and how to avoid the common mistakes we usually make using the word travel. Finally, in Danny's favorite section, Literary Echoes, we will delve deeply into an incredible mix of satire and science fiction in today's poem, An Alien from Mars by Phoenix. And we will finish the episode with our Spotlight's daily segment and ponder the question, what makes you feel truly alive? As you can see, there's a lot to talk about and learn from in today's episode. So without further ado, let's start with our very first section for today, Words of Wisdom. And as Danny usually say, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Have you ever clung to a good experience, desperately wishing it could last forever? Or maybe the prospect of an ending, a job change, a relationship ending, a beloved project wrapping up, fills you with a sense of dread? What if we told you that endings aren't always a bad thing? What if there's beauty and opportunity hidden within that age-old adage? All good things must come to an end. Welcome to Daily Proverb, where we dig into the wisdom and occasional misconceptions hidden in everyday sayings. Today, we're learning to embrace endings. Let's face it, endings can be tough. Whether it's the final chapter of a phenomenal book, that last amazing vacation day, or even saying goodbye to a cherished phase of your life, it's natural to feel a mix of sadness and maybe even a bit of fear of what comes next. But here's where the proverb gets interesting. The necessity of endings. Endings make space for the new. Imagine if that amazing book never ended, or that vacation lasted forever. It wouldn't be quite as special, would it? Gratitude in the past. Endings give us a chance to appreciate the whole experience. Instead of clinging to the present, see if you can find gratitude for what you've had. Anticipation of the future. While unknown, the future holds the potential for new joys and discoveries. Endings are really new beginnings in disguise. Does this mean we should always welcome endings with open arms? Not necessarily. It's okay to feel a sense of loss. However, let's use the proverb not as a reason for despair, but as a reminder to savor the present. Knowing something is finite makes each moment more precious. Celebrate what was, share memories, express gratitude, and find ways to acknowledge the impact a good thing has had on you. Be kind to yourself as you transition. Endings can be emotionally taxing. Give yourself time to adjust, and don't be afraid to ask for support. Remember, all good things must come to an end. But that doesn't mean the next amazing chapter of your life isn't waiting just around the corner. So, that was our proverb for today. Next, we're going to delve into a gem of quote by none other than President Franklin Roosevelt. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Imagine you have a brilliant idea, a dream that lights you up from the inside out. But then, a little voice of doubt creeps in. What if I fail? What if it's impossible? What if I'm not good enough? Are those doubts just harmless thoughts? Or do they have the power to sabotage our goals before they even get a fighting chance? Welcome to Daily Quote, the podcast where every episode explores a single thought-provoking idea. Today, we're diving into a powerful statement from Franklin D. Roosevelt and why embracing it might change the way you look at your future. Roosevelt said, "The only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today." In other words, it's not always external circumstances that hold us back. It's the doubts we allow to take root in our own minds. Let's unpack this a bit. Self-fulfilling prophecies. When we deeply believe something won't work out, we often subtly change our behavior. We might procrastinate, put in less effort, or give up at the first sign of trouble. Our doubts essentially pave the way for their own confirmation. Missed opportunities. How many times have you hesitated to pursue something because of self-doubt? Those doubts can rob us of experiences that would allow us to grow, connect with others, or make a positive impact. The power of belief. The flip side of the coin is that belief acts as a catalyst. History is full of people who accomplished incredible things because they believed they could, even when others scoffed. Now, this isn't about ignoring all reality, but it's a call to question our limiting beliefs. Do those doubts come from a place of truth or from fear? So, my friends, I hope you enjoyed our words of wisdom for today. Next, we're going to move on to our word power section. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Imagine a friend who usually greets you with a warm smile suddenly ignoring you. No hello, no eye contact, just an icy silence. Awkward, right? We call this giving someone the cold shoulder. But why do we use this frosty expression? Is there a secret history of bad manners involving chilly body parts? Let's find out. Hey everyone, welcome to English Express, where we unlock the mysteries behind everyday phrases. Today we're exploring the chilly world of the idiom, give someone the cold shoulder. So, where did this whole cold shoulder thing come from? There are a few intriguing theories. Unwelcoming feasts. Imagine a medieval banquet. The best cuts of meat, like the shoulder, were for honored guests. If you received a smaller, less desirable portion, it was, well, a bit of a cold shoulder. Body language. Turning your shoulder to someone is dismissive, implying you don't want to interact. Over time, this snub became the idiom we know. Literal coldness. Some suggest the phrase comes from the feeling you get when someone is dismissive towards you. It sends a chill down your spine. Now, let's see how we actually use this expression. My coworker has been giving me the cold shoulder ever since I got that promotion. I tried apologizing to my sister, but she just gave me the cold shoulder. Don't take it personally. Sometimes their boss gives everyone the cold shoulder. Thanks for joining me on this exploration of the cold shoulder idiom. Want more language adventures? Visit EnglishPlusPodcast.com for tons of awesome episodes. So, that was our expression for today. Next, we're going to talk about a very special word, ardent. You don't want to miss that. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Have you ever felt a burning passion for something? A cause you fiercely believe in? A hobby you can't get enough of? Or a person who sets your heart alight? Is there a word that captures that intensity of feeling, that almost overwhelming enthusiasm? Turns out, there is. Welcome to Word of the Day. Today we're igniting our vocabulary with the word ardent. Get ready to feel the fire. Ardent is a word packed with energy. It means enthusiastic, passionate, or even fervent. Here's the key thing. It's not just casual interest. Ardent implies a deep, almost blazing level of dedication or feeling. Let's break it down. Ardent supporters, those cheering the loudest at the game, the ones tirelessly advocating for a cause, they're ardent supporters. Ardent love. Think of a sweeping romance novel, that intense, all-consuming love between characters, that's ardent. Ardent desire. If you've ever yearned for something so strongly it almost burns within you, that's an ardent desire. Like a flickering flame, the word ardent has its origins in the Latin word ardere, meaning to burn. So, when you think of an ardent feeling, visualize a fire within, fueling your passion. Let's see how this word gets used in everyday life. She was an ardent environmentalist, dedicating her life to fighting climate change. He had an ardent interest in history, spending hours poring over ancient texts. Their eyes met, and an ardent longing filled the room. Has the flame of ardent been kindled within you? I hope so. Thank you for joining me today on Word of the Day. For more vocabulary sparks, head over to EnglishPlusPodcast.com. And if you love what we do, consider becoming a patron on Patreon. All those links are in our episode description, including a transcript of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed our word power section, and I hope you don't hate me for replacing Danny for this episode. I know it's a big shoe to fill, but he didn't want to leave the podcast without new episodes until he gets better. Anyway, now it's time to build our knowledge without Did You Know section. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Imagine walking through a field of flowers and having a tiny buzzing bee look up and recognize you. Sounds like something out of a magical cartoon, right? Well, get ready to have your mind blown, because science suggests that this might be closer to reality than you think. Could it be that honeybees, with their minuscule brains, can actually remember human faces? Welcome to the Did You Know podcast, where we explore the weird, the wonderful, and the mind-boggling facts about our world. Today, we're buzzing into the fascinating world of honeybees and their surprising abilities. You might think of bees as simple creatures, driven by instinct, but a growing body of research suggests there's much more going on inside those tiny heads than we once imagined. Scientists have discovered that honeybees can actually be trained to recognize human faces. How do they do it? Well, bees see the world very differently than we do. Instead of focusing on all the individual features of a face, they break it down into a basic configuration. Think of it like a simple line drawing of a face. They learn to associate certain face arrangements with rewards like a tasty sugar solution. This incredible discovery challenges our ideas about what kind of complex thinking a small brain is capable of. It also makes us wonder, what other secrets are these amazing pollinators buzzing around with? Are they capable of even more sophisticated communication and social behavior than we realize? I bet you didn't think honeybees are that special. Well, that's the least we can say about them. They're far more important than we usually give them credit for. So I hope you learned something new about honeybees that may help you appreciate them more and not only worry about their potential bites. Well, next we're going to dive a little deeper within ourselves in our Know Yourself segment. So, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Most decisions seem conscious, but what if they're made long before you're even aware? Dive into the hidden world of subconscious decision-making on this episode of Know Yourself. Imagine you're in a grocery store, and without a second thought, you reach for a familiar brand of cereal. Was that decision a true act of free will? Or did a mix of past experiences, hidden biases, and sneaky marketing tactics choose for you? Buckle up, because today on Know Yourself, we're venturing into the surprising ways your subconscious makes decisions you don't even see coming. We all like to think we're in the driver's seat of our lives, making conscious, rational choices. But cutting-edge brain science reveals a different story. It turns out, much of our decision-making happens backstage, in the shadowy realm of the subconscious. Studies show our brains can form decisions well before we're consciously aware of them. Information floods in, patterns and biases come into play, and voila, your brain secretly picks a favorite. This hidden process can influence everything from your daily habits to major life choices. Why does this matter? Well, understanding how your subconscious drives the show could empower you. Once you recognize the hidden forces at play, you might be able to outsmart those sneaky impulses and make choices that truly align with your values. So, the next time you make a choice, big or small, take a moment to ask yourself, who's really in charge? Unraveling this mystery is a fantastic step in truly knowing yourself. If you're intrigued by the science of the mind, check out our other podcasts on similar topics over at EnglishPlusPodcast.com. To unlock even more knowledge and bonus episodes, become a patron on Patreon. All those links are in our episode description. I hope this Know Yourself segment provided you with food for thought. And now it's time to continue on our journey, and to be more specific, next up is our language journey section. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Have you ever been caught in a transatlantic word mix-up? Did your American friend chuckle when you talked about attending uni? Or were you flummoxed when a Brit mentioned their child's primary school? Fear not, language lovers. Today, we're breaking down the charmingly confusing world of school and university on both sides of the Atlantic. Welcome to English Usage Daily, where we make the rules of English less mysterious and a lot more fun. Let's start with the basics. In American English, school is a broad umbrella term. It covers everything from kindergarten to graduate school. University is specifically where you go after high school to earn a degree. Got it? Simple enough. Now, let's hop over to the UK. Here's where things get a bit topsy-turvy. Brits use school up until those university years. Your elementary school years are called primary school, and your teenage years are spent in secondary school. Oh, and that higher learning place we Americans call university? The Brits, of course, simply call it uni. So, why the difference? Well, it's like most things in language, a mix of history, culture, and a dash of that quirky evolution that makes English so interesting. But it's not just the names that differ. Let's dive into how these words are actually used. Picture this. You're having a chat with an American friend who asks, "Did you enjoy school?" They mean your entire educational experience. A British pal asking the same question would likely be referring to your years up to entering university. Both Brits and Americans sometimes break their own rules. You might hear an American use college and university almost interchangeably. And in the UK, you may come across terms like sixth form college, which, despite the name, falls a bit closer to the American concept of high school. So, does all this leave your head spinning? Don't worry, even native speakers get tripped up sometimes. The best thing to do? Pay attention to context, and if you're truly unsure, don't be afraid to ask. After all, a little curiosity goes a long way in mastering the wonderfully complex world of language. Well, that's not the end of our language journey for today. Next, we're going to talk about a word that might seem very easy to use, but trust me, it can get confusing at times. The word we'll focus on is travel, so don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Picture this. You're telling a friend an amazing story about your recent travels, but a little voice inside your head starts nagging. Is it travel to Europe or travel in Europe? Did you just say, "My travels were amazing," when you might have meant something else? If these doubts sound familiar, you're in good company. Welcome to Daily Common Mistake, the podcast where we transform grammar gaffes into language victories. Today, we're hitting the road with the word travel. This little word has some surprisingly tricky rules of usage that can trip us up. Let's unpack the most common confusion points. Travel as a verb. This is when you talk about the action of moving between places. Oh, I love traveling to new countries. Oh, it takes a long time to travel across the desert. Travel as a noun. Uncountable, this gets more abstract, referring to the general concept of moving from place to place. This form has no plural. Oh, air travel has become more affordable. Oh, travel broadens the mind. Trip versus travel. Now, here's a sneaky one. Trip is often used for shorter journeys or specifically focused journeys with a clear destination. Oh, I'm taking a weekend trip to the mountains. Oh, our business trip to Chicago was a success. The biggest mistake is using travel as a countable noun, like saying, "I went on 3 travels this year." Remember, the concept of travel can't have a plural. The next time you're about to share your adventures, take a second to think. Am I describing the action of moving, the general idea of moving, or a specific journey? That'll guide your word choice between travel as a verb, travel as an uncountable noun, or maybe even good old trip. Now get out there and explore the world of language with confidence. And now, my friend, on to our last section for today. Our favorite section here at English Plus Podcast, the Literary Echoes section. We're going to enjoy a very special poem by Phoenix next. So, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Well, first let me read you the poem, and then we will dig in a little deeper to find the hidden gems lying beneath the surface. An Alien from Mars by Phoenix. The crowd, the street was full, all gathered around that green man, like a Christmas turkey. Seemingly weak, they were all ready to stab with their knives, and victory to the human race. survived another alien attack. Others were in books. This one was real. I pushed on to get a better view. Police surrounded that poor alien. Each stood brave and true to keep the peace and take some rare shots of fame. What might he look like? What language does he speak? Is he a messenger or is he a spy? What promise has he brought? Why were all so obsessed to welcome an alien from Mars? One man asked what they drank, gave him a Budweiser export discount. People down from Shell wanted to send a probe. The old smiling man of KFC, whose man's already prepared a franchise contract. Some stood in line to squeeze dry all the commercial opportunities before anyone else did. The poor alien was shocked. People kept pouring in with offers, humanization deals. He could not understand, especially when came forth two men in black, wired, sunglassed, suited like messengers from heaven, delivering messages from hell. They almost had the poor soul convinced his Martian national security was at risk. They offered him one official contract to be the exclusive arms suppliers and two offers under the table for an eternal mass conflict effect. Then came two healers, two priests from different sects. They argued whose god was the one, whose god would bring the aliens to light. The blind cannot lead the blind. The alien thought in his Martian logic, without even having met the Christ. The obvious truth was obvious. Even an alien would know that. The poor Martian alien friend knew his people needed none of that. He pretended he did not understand. Years has he spent learning our tongue.
Invine. He came up with a plan.
To save our world. They saw from there. We were already dying. Yet if he spoke a word, the virus would spread. We have been killing people to enlighten them since the dawn of man. He knew he could not enlighten us. We already thought we were the sun. He stood transfixed, unable to speak. Some men were watching from a distance. Confirmed Martians were stupid, gave green light to Operation Green Death, and folks from NASA started to prepare the first conquering mission in space. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to see our world through the eyes of an outsider? What if an alien from Mars landed on Earth, not with malice, but with the hope of understanding our species? Welcome to today's episode of Daily Poem, where we dive into Phoenix's thought-provoking poem, An Alien from Mars. Here, we're presented with a narrative that not only entertains but challenges us to reflect on the essence of humanity, our societal values, and the ironic twists of our quest for enlightenment and domination. Phoenix's An Alien from Mars opens with a scene that could be straight out of a classic sci-fi movie. A crowd gathers around an alien, not in wonder or in an attempt to communicate, but with a readiness to assert their dominance. The alien, seemingly weak and vulnerable, becomes a symbol of how humanity deals with the unknown, with fear, aggression, and a scramble for commercial gain. As we push through the crowd for a closer look alongside the narrator, we're introduced to various characters, each representing facets of our society's reaction to the alien. From the police seeking fame to entrepreneurs eyeing commercial opportunities, Phoenix holds up a mirror to our world, reflecting our obsessions with fame, profit, and exploitation. The poem takes a satirical turn when individuals from different sectors approach the alien with offers and contracts, aiming to exploit his presence for their own gain. The alien's response, or lack thereof, reveals his understanding of our world's flaws. He sees our wars, our greed, and our religious conflicts, and he realizes that any attempt to enlighten us would be in vain. We are depicted as a species so convinced of our own superiority that we are blind to the lessons we could learn from an outsider. In the closing lines, Phoenix presents a chilling conclusion. The alien's silence and perceived stupidity trigger a hostile response from humanity, showcasing our tendency to destroy what we do not understand. The Operation Green Death and the preparation for a conquering mission in space symbolize the ultimate extension of our belligerence and fear of the other. An Alien from Mars by Phoenix serves as a stark commentary on human nature, exposing our societal and individual flaws through the eyes of an extraterrestrial visitor. The poem begs the question, are we, as a species, ready to confront the truths about ourselves reflected in the alien's silent judgment? As we ponder Phoenix's satirical yet profound narrative, let's consider what it means to be truly human. In our quest for enlightenment, have we lost sight of the values that should define our humanity? Compassion, understanding, and a genuine desire for peace. Thank you for joining us on Poetry Daily, where we explore the depths of human experience through the beauty of poetry. Until next time, may we strive to be the kind of humans an alien from Mars, or anyone else, would hope to find. What insights or reflections do you have after listening to today's episode? How can we embrace the qualities that make us truly human in a world that often prioritizes profit and power over empathy and understanding? I hope you enjoyed this poem by Phoenix, and next we have our final segment for today, our daily spotlight. What makes you feel truly alive? Let's ponder this question. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Think about those moments. They come when you least expect them. You're lost in a song, completely focused on a task, or laughing with someone until your sides hurt. Suddenly, everything else fades away and it's like, BM. You're fully present, every sense firing, feeling more alive than you have in weeks. So, here's the question. What creates that feeling? Is it thrill-seeking adventures, the quiet moments, or something else entirely? Welcome to Daily Spotlight, the show where we explore the questions that make our world tick. Today, we're diving into what it means to feel truly, vibrantly alive. Let's get started. Let's face it, most of our days are just okay, routine, filled with little tasks and mundane decisions. Those moments where we feel truly alive, they are special. But are they random? Or is there some secret ingredient, a recipe for aliveness that we can uncover? Some people swear by adrenaline. Skydiving, crazy challenges, pushing their limits, that's when they feel most alive. Others get that sense from deep connection, meaningful conversations, being fully seen by those they love. It could be the flow state that comes from creative work, getting lost in music, or the simple beauty of nature that awakens your spirit. But here's where things get interesting. Maybe feeling alive isn't about grand gestures. Perhaps it's in those little everyday choices. Choosing to fully savor your morning coffee instead of gulping it down while checking emails. Taking a moment to really look around during your commute instead of staying stuck in your head. There's science here too. Our bodies and minds are wired for aliveness. Movement, deep breaths, being present with our senses. These simple actions can awaken a sense of vitality we may not realize we're missing. Before we wrap up, let's turn the question around. What makes you feel the least alive? Is it mindless scrolling, getting stuck in negative thought patterns, or feeling stifled and disconnected? Recognizing what drains you is just as important as figuring out what gives you life. Here's your challenge. Pay attention this week. When do those flickers of aliveness appear? Is there a way to invite more of those experiences into your everyday life? Remember, feeling alive isn't a luxury. It might just be your greatest superpower. Conclusion. And with that, my friends, we have come to the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to the different sections, and once again, thank you for putting up with me as a replacement to your regular host, Danny. Don't forget to visit our website, EnglishPlusPodcast.com, for more content, and take the link you can find in the description to find the transcript of this episode on our website. And if you want to take your English and knowledge to the next level, become a premium member on Patreon to unlock a world of learning and knowledge. And at the same time, you will be supporting us to continue doing what we're doing and serve you and all those eager minds around the world. With that, I would like to thank you very much for listening to another episode of English Plus Podcast. I hope it will be Danny who will record tomorrow's episode, but we will see you again tomorrow. So never stop coming back for more, and never stop learning with English Plus Podcast.